everyone. Welcome to the Innovative Teaching Podcast. The goal of this podcast is to share ideas. It's to get you thinking outside the box, but I know that's a phrase we use all the time, but it's really to get you thinking critically about teaching and learning. So not a lot of times we'll get wrapped up in our own ideas or our own thought process, and we just need some outside influence, ideas, tidbits to kind of get us thinking fresh and new to solve a problem. The other thing I try to bring to this podcast is stealing ideas from the industry, from other areas that we can adapt for our own teaching and learning. So that's the main goal of the podcast. I know it's been a while. It's so glad to be back with everybody. I was on a sabbatical, and that's kind of what I podcast out about last year, but now I am back on campus. We're still kind of doing that hybrid work schedule or telecommuting where we're on campus part of the time and working from home other parts. I actually really like that. It gives some flexibility. It mixes things up. So I don't know what type of work environments you guys have returned to or if it's changed or adapted, but hopefully it is something that is working for you. I just have a couple topics to share. We've been busy getting the semester up and going, getting faculty campuses courses where they need to be, making sure students are enrolled. So it's pretty busy at the beginning, but there's still a few things going on and things that we're working on or discussions we've had. So I'm just going to share some of that out in hopes that you can use part of the information for your own work. The first one I came across, the Thiago game letter that I subscribed to, they had a really simple activity for startup of classes. It's designed for training, so you can use it anytime, but it's called Mutual Memories. I thought it was kind of nice because it's an activity that no matter the age of students, where they come from, it's a good way to kind of help students find like common ground or at least something they can appreciate in each other. So with Mutual Memories, you throw out a topic, and some of the topics are like places you've traveled or would like to travel, books you've read, maybe movies you watched. I know with a lot of my students, movies is kind of a popular one that they can talk about. And I always go with food. I feel like it doesn't matter what age or kind of what context you're in. If you bring up food as a topic, you can normally get a discussion going and people connect. So I would go with food myself, places you like to eat or types of food you like to eat. But you know your students best, you know your content area, because there may be a topic that is better related to your content area. But the idea with Mutual Memories, you put people in pairs. And I'm sure you could do more than just pairs if you wanted to, but pairs makes it a little bit more personable and both people have to be talking so you don't have someone sitting and listening. But you give the topic and they share. They share out like what types of food do you like to eat? What are your favorite restaurants? What are your favorite recipes? Just anything around food. And the idea is that the two people will find some mutual ground or mutual similarities in the food. And even if they don't, it's always, food. I can easily get interested in talking to someone else about food, especially if their food is way different. It doesn't matter. If it's the same, you get all excited. Oh, what recipe do you use? And how do you do this? And how do you do that? Where when it's completely different, it's like, oh, that's different and interesting. I would love to try that. So, you exchange and just kind of fire back and forth, have a conversation about it. And then if you want at the end to wrap that up, you could end the conversation there. You could also have students like have a little, I want to say poster board, but not poster, just where they're going to draw out. So they go through and as they're saying the food, they could actually be drawing it on a sheet of paper, and both people draw their favorite foods on a sheet of paper. After you've done that, then you have a discussion. You have each person pick out their absolute favorite. So out of everything they've drawn or everything they've named or everything they've listed, depending upon how you're doing it, you have them put pick out their absolute favorite, and maybe you have them circle it, or maybe that's what they make a sticky note and stick on the board, and then, you know, every group comes up and sticks their favorite on the board. There's many, many different ways. You can do it digitally if you want to use something like Trello or some of the other whiteboard technologies. Then you can have where you allow students to share out with the class as a whole if you want to, or they jump in a breakout room. Maybe everyone that has the same interest can hop in a breakout room, discuss a little bit further. But the whole point of the activity is just to get students to relax, talk with each other, and try to find like mutual respect with each other. So that's a whole goal. I thought it was fun. It sounds good. Some of them will do a recall activity. So when they're in pairs, after each person has named out their favorite things they like to eat, then the other person will try to recall and repeat back what they heard. So you can also do that. That's another activity. I know we have a couple of late start classes, so that's an activity that faculty could use, faculty and teachers could use. I know K-12, well, I guess some K-12s just starting up. Our K-12s already been going. Their first quarters already completed. But we start, we kind of do the year-round thing here in Arizona. But I know some of the others, you're probably just getting ready to start up. So that's a good activity you can do. You could always do, what did you do during the summer? That's a good topic. But give it a try. If you need a little icebreaker activity for your students, or you want to try to bring them together. Now, the other thing I've been spending some time on, and we're still developing the idea, still trying to figure out exactly how we're going to do it. But with higher education, some institutions are struggling for enrollment, right? So we're trying to figure out how to increase that enrollment. And it could be face-to-face enrollment. It could be online enrollment. In general, our enrollment's been pretty stagnant, if not declining. You know, it'll kind of bounce back and forth a little bit. But we want to grow programs and increase enrollment. So I've been thinking really hard, how can a Center for Teaching and Learning help our faculty grow? How can faculty help their programs grow? I know some of you probably have this established. If you have good relationships with your community, you're already an expert and you're rolling, and you could probably share ideas with us, which if you go to the website for this podcast on Anchor, then you can actually leave a message for me, and please, please share what ideas are working for you. And then I'll share that out. I'll actually pull in your voice message into the podcast and share that out with the group. So please share if you have some excellent tips and things that work. The one thing we're looking at is how to leverage social media to showcase our faculty and help our students envision themselves being a student and successful on our campus. There's plenty of social media, and if you do a search on the demographics of social media, that will help you narrow down based on your audience which social media you probably want to leverage. It really depends on your age group. It will probably depend on your program, but just do a search on demographics of social media, and you can find a couple different, I'll put some links too in the show notes that will take you to websites where you can look that information up. Because I don't want to go into details on that. You can look that up and you can find what you need for what you're doing. But the thing we're looking at is really leveraging like Instagram, Facebook. Facebook is more for career and technical, and we would be using that to target upskilling. You know, people that have careers, they're older, but they want to reskill or upskill. And then Instagram and your TikTok, that's a little bit of a younger crowd. So we're trying to figure out what content, how many people do we want posting? I say how many people helping us to post. It's not going to be from different voices, but it'll be from multiple people helping in order to capture as much as we can capture on campus to help promote the program. And the one thing I really, really want to do is showcase the faculty. Just With community college, we don't do a lot of research and publishing. So the information's not out there unless they're in the community. Like our storytelling program, they're in the community all the time doing live events. Theater, same thing. They're kind of doing live events, although the faculty may be behind the scenes. So we want to really showcase the expertise of the faculty, if they're being published, if they're showcased on the radio somewhere, just everything that faculty do. We also want to showcase the students that are working with the faculty. So what are they doing in the classes? You know, what's that fun project that everyone benefits from, or, you know, it has an impact on their lives? Or so just really showcase the work of the faculty. Now, the purpose of this is to try to help potential students connect with the faculty and understand this would be the person they would be taking a course with. You know, this is what those people are doing. These are the opportunities that students could have if they enrolled in these courses. Now, another thing I'm going to do, I'm calling them upselling courses. But in the business world or self-education world, anyone that's trying to sell a course, they will either do live webinars or they do like a mini free course. And what you want to do with the course is it's bang for the buck, right? It's a free course, but you're giving them a chunk of information that they can apply right away in their life. After you've done that, you've got the contact info, then you upsell them to try to get them enrolled into your semester courses. So that's one thing we're working on. It's still just in the planning stages and talking through it and finding faculty that want to experiment and play. So it'll be an interesting experiment to see if it works. I'm sure, you know, you're not going to do one little upsell course and it works. You've got to do a couple. We'll need the help of our campus marketing to get that information out. You know, we can do some things, but then we've got to have the experts step in and help and communicate that information. We're also looking at just doing community workshops. That's always a good one too, because that physically gets people on campus. They get to see the faculty member face to face and they learn something. So that's another one. We just know some people are not wanting to do face to face still. So we're looking at some of these other options. Well, the other options too are not as, I don't want to say labor intensive. You've got to build the little mini course. And when I say mini course, it's kind of like a mini lecture, less than 5 minutes. You do like an activity that the person can immediately apply in their life, or they're learning the skills of something that they can immediately apply in their lives. There's a little bit of feedback. I would do like community feedback where you have a little community group set up and everyone in the group that is participating can then share what they did and then provide feedback for each other. Then the last thing would be a Q&A with the actual faculty member or teacher. And that could just be questions about the activity, questions about the program at campus, how to get enrolled. Of course, you want to work with enrollment services and have a connection where they can then go straight to enrollment and get enrolled into the class. So those are all things to think about and consider. But once again, if you're doing anything with this or have done anything that works very well for your program, please share that. So just go to the Innovative Teaching website for on Anchor. So it's Anchor, do Anchor Podcast, Innovative Teaching Podcast. And then there is a message button. Just click on that. You can leave a voice message. So you don't even have to type it. And then I can use your voice in the podcast and share those out in the next episode. That would be awesome. I would love that. Now, the other things, the one thing I'm running into, I don't know, I hear it's common in our area, and I'm kind of wondering if it's common elsewhere. Students are wanting to come to campus face-to-face. So the students that want that college experience want to be in class, and students that know better, they know they're not very good at being a self-regulated learner. They want to be on our campuses and learning. But there are many, many faculty, I'm hearing, I don't know if it's residential, adjunct faculty, just faculty in general, they don't want to be on campus face-to-face. They want to be teaching online. So I'm interested to see where that goes. For some of you that don't mind teaching face-to-face, there may be some career opportunities there for you. So keep your eyes open, because there's other faculty that are not wanting to teach face-to-face right now. All right, and then another idea we came across. Sorry, my throat's getting dry and I did not bring water down. So I told you for summer projects, I had hoped to publish a camping journal book. And I did manage to accomplish that. So I built the book in Canva. So not Canvas, but Canva. Canva.com. I built the book in that and put it into a PDF format. I was then able to easily load it up into Blurb. So I use Blurb.com, B-L-U-R-B, to actually print the book. So it gets printed, but it also gets published with an ISBN number. I thought the cost was very reasonable. I have not put it live to the world because I had a printed copy that I'm having shipped to me. The shipping is taking like 2 to 3 weeks, so that there's a little bit of a wait on that. But in doing this, I was having a conversation with faculty at work. I can't remember who I was speaking with. But we started thinking, I mean, it was so easy to make it, right? You put it into a PDF. You just had to make sure that the border, the guidelines were the right way for once the book got printed and cut to, you know, hardbound it. That wouldn't it be cool if every student came out of your class being able to say they authored a book? And when you think about it, because with self-publishing, you can publish whatever you want to. You don't have anyone editing it. You don't have anyone telling you you can or you can't publish the book. And there's plenty, I see plenty of little kids that are publishing books with their drawings and their writings. So why couldn't we have college students, high school students, even the elementary students, at the end of your class, they actually publish a book and they have a printed book to take home with their name on it as the author. I just think that would be an awesome confidence booster. And when you're thinking about college, so you don't want them copywriting, right? So they can't take the information and just put that into the book and then, because you can actually sell them. Once you have the ISBN with Blurb, they have a platform where you can connect and you can actually start selling it digitally or as printed. And you can do it through Amazon. I'm not sure. I researched a couple different platforms. I started with another platform, but I didn't like their user agreement. You have to be careful because some of the platforms, when you agree to their agreement, you're agreeing that whatever you put up, they can take and sell at third parties or like at on physical locations, like in bookstores or at a book fair. They can sell and you get absolutely no profits from it. They take all the profits from the book sale. So the original platform, and right at the second, the name slips my mind, but if you search, it's well known that this company does that. They can take and make money off of your book and you don't even get any money back at all. So I end up going with blurb.com, and I don't know, I just think it would be a really cool confidence builder for students to be able to come out of your course saying, I'm an author, I published my first book. Now, the one thing I was talking about with content, you know, they can't put the content and then just republish it. But what they can do throughout your course is write reflections or, you know, kind of walk through an activity in their own words, talk about the experience, their thoughts on it. Because even though you're giving them information and that's what the current world says this is true, maybe they have contradicting ideas or concepts that they want to explore further. So there's a couple of different ways you could have students actually create content that they are allowed to publish in the book. So take that into consideration, because that can be done for any age. It can be written, it can be drawn, it could even be a photo book, because Blurb does good does a good job with photo books. Now, photo books are a little bit more expensive to print because you need higher quality paper, better printing quality with the colors. And a lot of times, I want to say they're hardbound, but that's not true. You could do a softbound or hardbound. But take that in consideration, because maybe it's just they have a collection of images. The other thing I've found that I really like is the travel journal. I did a camping journal. Travel journal is kind of the same, but the stuff that I saw, I like the way, and I don't remember the teacher's name, but she would have an image, so an actual photograph that was captured. Put that in, it kind of like a scrapbook. So it's basically a scrapbook. You put a picture in, but then you write around the image your thoughts, your experiences. Like with traveling, it was like receipts, brochures. So maybe in class, maybe someone wants to cut out, you know, part of the instructions or, you know, part of the notes or a diagram or something they drew. So there's a couple of different ways you could do that. Just play around and explore. And once again, if you find something that works, leave a message on the Innovative Teaching Podcast Anchor webpage, and then I can share that out with everybody. Okay, just a quick wrap up on my summer project. So the first one was a camping journal. I did succeed. It was finished, and I have a printed copy in the mail on the way to me, so I'm excited to see the quality and how it turns out. The card games, I had a couple games I wanted to work on and produce because I have a couple in my mind. They're in development, right? I keep working on them when I have time. But I did get a card game. It's based on camping again. Sorry, camping's like my favorite thing. It's a card game for camping. I think I have all of the game mechanics figured out. Like, and it's actually 2-in-1. I designed it so it's a 2-in-1 game. The first play of game is that you have some game cards that are already predetermined, but then you have blank game cards, and those game cards are filled out. So each team, each person has a different color. Those cards are actually filled out as you play the game. Well, then those cards get rated. So after the cards that need filled in, family members will rate them on a scale of 1 to 4. You know, which one's the best? The one with the best will get 1. The one that's the least favorite of the group will get 4. Those cards go into the predetermined cards. Now you're ready to play a card game, a second card game. And you play the game based on the cards that everyone's collected, and you get points. So I think I have the game mechanics figured out. I'm to the point where I need to actually prototype the cards, because I did some rough sketching out of cards, but I need to actually get like cards printed. I need to get them designed, because I just wrote out in pencil and kind of rough idea. So I need to start designing the cards so I can print out cards to start prototyping and testing the game. So I did make progress. I was impressed with myself, because I didn't think, I had a very ambitious plan for the summer. And with traveling, it's hard. But I'm happy. I accomplished what I really wanted to, because my goal with the card game was to have it ready to go by the end of 2022. I'm still not quite sure if I'll make it there, because I have too many hobbies and interests. And then finally, my mead. I told some of you I was getting into mead making. I think I need to get away from it, because I'm learning more and more about health, and you should absolutely not drink any alcohol whatsoever. It is just poison toxin to your body, but a glass of wine is nice occasionally. So anyways, I have my mead, which is honey wine, and the two that I've liked the best so far, I've only tasted and I still have some of them aging, I guess is the proper term, but I got orange blossom honey from a local bee guy. He's literally like 2 miles down the road, just has a honey stand along the road. That one, I think it just produces a really clean, clear mead. And I like the smooth texture of it and the taste. So I think the orange blossom honey, and of course, that's the most expensive honey that I buy. It's terrible, but it makes sense, right? They always say when it comes to food, it's the taste is as good as the quality of the ingredients you put into it. So that's probably why it's good. And then the other one that I like so far, it is a peach blossom. And once again, it comes from a farm. It's a little further down the road. It's about 15 minutes down, but it's a peach orchard. And that honey seems to be pretty good too. I was telling you I was making chocolate meads. And the one chocolate mead is finished. It does have a hint of the chocolate. The one problem I'm having with my mead, I'm new at this, is that it's very strong alcohol. And I've tested it. The alcohol content is where it should be for mead, but for some reason to me, it seems like it's overpowering. So I need to find a mead expert. If anyone's a mead expert, leave me a message if you're in the area, and I'll get a bottle to you so you can taste test and give me some feedback. Even if you're not into mead, I guess, and you're local, let me know. I'll get a bottle to you and you can taste and give me some feedback. The other chocolate is still very, very new. It's only about 4 months old. That one I like. It's a nice, strong taste of chocolate, but I know the longer it ages, that's gonna come out of it a bit. And that one was super cloudy just because of all the cocoa nibs and cocoa that went into it, but it needs to sit a lot longer. So like I said in the last podcast, that needs to sit for at least a year, if not 2 years. So those were my summer projects. If you worked on If you worked on a summer project and you were successful and you're excited to share, I'd love to hear what teachers do in their summers. I know some travel. I travel too, but it's normally with camping and I get into adventures along the way. So if you worked on some projects and you're proud of your work, please, even if it failed, you know, we sometimes learn the best from failure. A lot of times we learn the best from failure. Go to the Teaching Innovative Anchor website on the message button and leave a message, and I will share out your summer projects and what you learn. That is it for this week. That's still longer than I had planned to talk, but that's a little update. Look for more regular podcasts. I will be doing at least one a month, if not one every 2 weeks, since we're back into the semester. And we've got all kinds of stuff going on. Our community colleges have just been permitted. Permitted, accredited to offer bachelor degree programs. So that's going to be something new for us. I know it's not new to universities. And, you know, the bachelor's is not new. But our approach and how we do it as a community college, I think, is going to be interesting. And we're going to learn some new professional development. I think identify professional development gaps. And then, you know, what's our creative solutions in getting faculty where they need to be or want to be with their program. So that is it. Thank you for listening. And I hope your school year, your semester is off to a great start. Remember, every student brings unique experiences and knowledge to your class. So make sure you embrace that and take advantage of it. That's probably the thing I love the most about teaching, is that everyone brings a different experience and knowledge. And I love learning and hearing and just watching them connect and grow. So take time. That's the joy of teaching for most of us. So please take time to get to know your students, appreciate your students, and value your students. I'll see you on the next podcast.